Hello and welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi and I am the host of this talk show on travel. And this week we're going to be talking about green travel. And I have in the studio Suzanne Barraza, a local. And Suzanne is the director producer of the film Bagot, which premiered at Mountain Film, Telluride's Mountain Film Festival, end of May. Most of you in the area, I'm sure, have heard about it. Otherwise, you're living underneath a rock. But those of you that might be listening from afar might not be familiar with it. I would like to welcome Suzanne to Travel Fun. Hi, Suzanne.
Thanks, Mary Beth.
It's nice to have you here. Well, the first half of the show, let's talk about Bagot, the film. And then the second half, let's talk a little bit more specifically about green travel. And maybe you could even provide some tips about how to be better, more environmentally friendly travelers. I have to say that I considered myself a pretty green person until I saw Bagot end of May at Mountain Film, and it really blew me away. It really impacted my life. And so I've tried to make some major changes since then. And I just want to get the word out as much as possible about the work you've done. First of all, I have to say bravo.
Thank you.
So talk about Bagot for those that haven't seen the film. What's it all about?
Well, Bagot follows a man's journey. It's Jeb Barrier, who's a local of Telluride as well, who's a very funny, you know, average guy. We picked Jeb to go on this journey because he's a pretty non-threatening, funny, he's the kind of guy that you'd want to hang out with. So we follow Jeb's journey as he learns more about plastic, and it starts very simply with plastic bags because that's how we actually started the film as well. And then as we kind of moved along and did more research, we found out that a lot of what we would call single-use disposable items, things that are like plastic bags, water bottles, coffee cups that are lined in plastic, things like that that we use one time and then throw them away, plastic forks and knives, all that kind of stuff, that they're really impacting our environment pretty hugely. So we started to find out what's happening in our oceans, and then ultimately what's even happening to our very own health, how plastic is affecting our bodies.
And what is great about the film, I have to say, is that it's very entertaining.
Good. That was our goal.
It doesn't lecture you at all.
Good.
Even though I felt almost a little shameful about certain things, even though I try to be really green before, but I love that line in the film, and maybe it comes up a couple of times, where do you think it all goes?
Yeah, where is away?
It doesn't just go away.
Right.
Where is away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of us have this idea when we throw things in the garbage or we recycle things that they're all, you know, once it's out of sight, out of mind, once it's out of our lives, we don't really think about what the end life of this product is. And unfortunately, a lot of times with plastic, it sticks around for a really long time and it doesn't go away. It's still there. So all the plastic that we've ever made on this planet is still here. It's not like other things that will biodegrade. So it was a real big wake-up call for me because I just had never really thought about that.
And even the idea of recycling plastic, that's not as easy to do as we might think.
Yeah, I mean, really very few plastic resin types, which is the little number on the bottom inside the chasing arrows symbol, which is a bit of a myth because plastic manufacturers put that symbol on the bottom of containers to make us feel like it's all being recycled, but it's not a federally regulated symbol. So it's kind of a bit of a mind game that they are using that symbol. But only numbers 1 and 2 that are shaped like a bottle with a smaller neck than a base are really highly marketable. All other plastics, it's very hard to find a market for them. So while we think we're doing the right thing by putting just everything in our recycling bins, a lot of it is really going to get chucked when it gets to a facility.
Or, as you pointed out in the movie, it's going to be shipped to some far-off land.
Right. A lot of our, even the 1 and 2 plastic, many of our plastics go to Asia to be recycled. They're not processed here, maybe because there's too much of it to reprocess, or Asia takes a lot of our plastics that are considered less desirable. Some of them are toxic plastics like PVC, polystyrene. They'll kind of take, for sure, less desirable plastics.
And then they are creating toxic pollution, all kinds of terrible
things. Yeah, there's just not much regulation. There's not much regulation there with air quality, or we have some footage that was sort of snuck in to the country by a news agency out of Australia. And when you see this footage, it's a bit shocking. You know, you see these plumes of smoke and just little children working at this factory, and you see the water right outside that's just completely polluted, and it just isn't what you think of. When you think recycling, you kind of get a warm, fuzzy feeling, like, oh, this is great. But then when you see kind of the reality of it, you just are, it's a bit horrifying. It's shocking. So what we really condone in the film is just using less. We don't really need all of these to-go containers, and we don't really need to always take, buy water. That's kind of like the silliest thing imaginable, especially if you live somewhere with water as great as ours is. And if you're really concerned, you can buy a filter to go on your water. But this was interesting for me to discover, that's not actually in the film. Water that's in water bottles is tested maybe once a year. There's only one person who's in charge of making sure it's tested with the FDA, while municipal water is tested at least twice a day. So you're not even getting better water necessarily. I mean, it's just like kind of, once again, something that we feel like, oh, if it comes in a bottle, it must be better. But what's in the bottle? What's leaching from the bottle into your water? So, reuse.
And Bagot made me so aware as to the amount of plastic that we deal with every day and that I consume and everybody else around. And even those plastic tops that you find on almost every container.
Right.
Plastic top. And those aren't recyclable.
Right.
You show where that goes in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, plastic tops, lids on juice containers. And now what I find really bizarre is it's even on milk containers, juice, creamers. Now they all have these little plastic tops. When you used to just open them and pour it out. It's like now we can't do that anymore. They have these little plastic lids. So the plastic lids have gone just crazy how many there are now. And in the film, we show that a lot of these plastic lids end up inside marine life. And we specifically show an albatross on Midway Atoll that has something like 17 plastic lids inside its bolus. So, you know, all that plastic can't be healthy for any marine animals. And they're now finding that plastic is affecting 270 species of marine life. So it feels frustrating, and you know, it can make you angry, but at the same time we can kind of turn it around and do all we can not to add more to the oceans.
Exactly. And before we talk about how we can turn that around, because the film Bagot is very hopeful and optimistic, along with it being a major wake-up call, I want to ask you personally about the gyre.
Right. There are 5 gyres.
I was amazed to see that in the movie. 5 gyres.
So gyres are just huge swirling currents in our oceans, and they're in each of our major bodies of water. You know, it's like people describe it like a toilet bowl flushing, but it's massive. You just have to imagine it's like all the way from off the coast of California to Asia. I mean, it's a huge body that just circles, and different ones circle in different directions, and they tend to trap debris. It's called the Saragossa Sea, where it's like doldrums. It's sort of just this not much wind, and it just kind of sticks right in there. So because plastic doesn't decompose, it photodegrades, meaning that sunlight will break it into smaller and smaller pieces. Like if you're walking on a beach and you see plastic and you notice how brittle it is, It's becoming weaker, but unfortunately it doesn't go away once again. It just becomes smaller and smaller into very tasty little bites for fish and turtles and whales and dolphins and anything you can imagine sees these little brightly colored bits of plastic and thinks that it's food.
Yeah. So when I saw that, I just thought, every time I pick up something that has plastic in it, I think twice. And that's what we all need to do. And at first, it's overwhelming going to the supermarket or just looking in your cabinet and all the plastic that you come across. But little by little, we can bring about change. And once again, before we get into some of the tips how to change our ways, especially while traveling, I want to ask you, how did you become so passionate about the whole plastic problem in
Boy,
the world?
Yeah, I started off just knowing nothing about it, and I was just doing a short film about a plastic bag challenge to reduce plastic bags in between Tyrid and Aspen, and I was following it and making this little short film. But it's like anything, that once you do a little bit of research and you learn more, I can't really turn my back on it. I feel like I don't think a lot of people know this, and I didn't know it, so I felt like it had to come out. So I just became like a freight train, just doing all the research I could, and I had an amazing team that worked with me to make this film. For sure, it was not just me, because there would be no way I could have done it. So, yeah, it was just couldn't turn my back on it.
And where is Bagot at now? I know you've had a super busy summer and you've won all kinds of awards at film festivals around the world. And where are you at now in terms of getting the word out to the masses?
The next screening I'm really excited about is at Lincoln Center in New York, which will be very exciting. We all know a lot of people there.
And when is that going to be?
That's October 24th. So we have a few festivals coming up still, and our big thing now is we're looking for an education distributor, which we think we've chosen one. We've had some offers for distribution and international distribution, and we're trying to pick who's going to really be as passionate about the film as we are, because you hate to hand it over and have them not do as good a job as you hope you did. And then we've had an offer from PBS for it to air next year, and we're just trying to figure that out, how that would work and how many markets it would be in, because we'd love it, obviously, to be as national as possible.
And earlier you told me something about Ellen
Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, Ellen DeGeneres, exactly. I had a
Yeah, the Ellen DeGeneres show, they asked for a copy of it maybe a month ago.
How did they hear about it?
I really don't know. They just, a producer called us and asked for a copy, and we kind of thought, yeah, nothing will come out of that. We sent it, and Ellen DeGeneres actually watched the film, and she tweeted, and I don't really know much about tweeting because I'm not a tweeter or Twitter or whatever it's called, but she has 5 million followers, and she tweeted, "I just saw this amazing documentary, Bagot, about plastic and its effect on the environment. I'm finished using plastic bags. Who's with me?" And it got a bunch of comments, and they actually called us to be on the show, which would have been amazing, but we didn't have any DVDs available for sale yet, and they just said, we'd have to wait, and hopefully they won't completely forget about us, and maybe they'll put us on in the future, but that they would have to wait till people could actually do something at the end of the show. They could get a DVD, or they could watch it, or somehow they would be able to see it.
And now, you do have DVDs for sale.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we just got a shipment in. So if people are interested in getting one, like maybe for people for Christmas, if you've seen the film or if you'd like to know more, you can see a trailer, teaser for the film at bagotmovie.com and see if it seems like it's up your alley. But right now it says to get on the waiting list, but in a few days that'll switch and say buy a DVD. So if you go in the next couple days, just get on our waiting list because we're going to attend to those people first. And then hopefully within a few days or a week, we'll have a, buy the DVD button set up.
And that's Bagot
Movie.com.
And as I said, the movie is very entertaining, very touching. So I recommend you pick it up. And great idea for Christmas gifts.
Yeah, come around.
Also, on your website, you have some terrific tips
for
how to be more responsible and how to start eliminating plastic from your life. And we're going to talk about those When we come back after a short break, we're also going to talk about tips for green travel. Listen to this. The travel industry sends more than 1 billion tourists around the world every year. That's a lot of people traveling about. And you can also consider a trip if you just go down the street or a town over and, you know, for an outing. And the idea is, it's one thing to be green at home, but it becomes more of a challenge when you're away from home and on the road. So we're going to take a short break and talk about that when we return. I am visiting with Suzanne Barraza, director-producer of Bagot. Hello, and welcome back to Travel Fun. I am visiting with Suzanne Barraza, local here in Telluride, and also the director-producer of Bagot, a terrific movie that really sheds a lot of light on how we are all so addicted to plastic and what it's doing to our environment. Suzanne, both during the filming of Bagot and since its release in May, you have done a fair amount of traveling, mainly to Europe and also within the U.S. How is everybody faring in terms of making efforts to be more green?
Well, I would say that's kind of hard to really say. One nice thing is that in Europe it's very easy to travel by train, which I know is better for our environment to travel by train than it is by plane. So it was very easy to get around Europe by train. We try to travel by train or using public transportation while we were filming the film, and even now that we're touring, Jeb's about to go to San Diego, and he's flying to San Diego, but then all his side trips he's doing on the Surfliner up to LA and then up to Ventura and back. So we try to do that as much as possible. It's very difficult in the system that we have now to travel long distances without using air travel.
Particularly in the U.S.
Particularly in the U.S.
Right.
The train service
and
is difficult.
Explain again why air travel is so bad.
Well, air travel obviously puts out much more CO2 emissions than traveling by train or by other public transportation. There are some things on the internet where you can offset your air travel, where an organization will do, I'm not really sure what all they do, plant trees or not really sure, but you can offset your trip. So if anyone's interested in that, they can look it up online.
In terms of what you observed in Europe, well, I lived in France for quite a long time, and that was before people became super environmentally aware. That was, let's say, between 83, 94. But the French were already very green at that time. People were bringing their own bags back then to the market, and they had a lot of recycling going on,
right,
and all that. And I've noticed since I've been back, the awareness has increased. Do you think the U.S. has some catching up to do?
Well, and particularly with bags, absolutely. In Europe, you never get a free bag. I don't care where you are. I mean, maybe there are a few countries where you still do, but you either pay for a bag or you bring your own. Pretty much that's a given. Everybody brings their own bag. In Germany, something we thought was really fascinating is the large soda plastic, hard plastic bottles, they get reused over and over again. And we actually found one in the store. The first one we picked up, it was on its 22nd use because they put a little mark for each time it's refilled. I mean, that seems like a smart idea, reusing these containers instead of just making them out of disposable plastic. And I guess other tips, well, one quick thing. Amsterdam, what an amazing city, and everybody travels by bike. It would be wonderful to see something like that in New York City, which would be pretty easy to do. But literally, we have a DVD extra where we're standing in the middle of the street waiting for a car to come by, but there's bikes just going everywhere. So if you're going to Europe, I would say go to Amsterdam and rent a bike to see the city.
And Paris has become increasingly bike-friendly, and this is actually happening throughout much of Europe. And in fact, on my blog, bonjourcolorado.com, this summer, I had some fun writing up the Segway tours.
Oh, yeah.
And I always thought that those Segways were pretty goofy, you know, the things that you stand up on and they zip around the city. But they're actually very green.
Right.
So I think it's about becoming aware and making choices as much as possible. And then that will bring about the change.
Right. You know, another thing that I found interesting really recently, we were in Durango doing a screening, and we stayed at the Rochester Hotel.
I love the Rochester.
It's great. So we talked to the owner, and he said that he was done with using those little containers of shampoo and lotion and conditioner.
The hotel amenities.
Yeah. So now he has a big dispenser in the shower that has Aveda, you know, nice shampoo, conditioner, lotion, all right there in a big dispenser instead of the little containers. And I now don't travel those little containers anymore. I use there's amazing bar shampoos you can get that's a shampoo and conditioner. And the great thing is I don't like to check bags. I like to just go right through. I just put toothpaste in a little reusable container with a twist top that I have, a really small sample that I finished a long time ago. I just put toothpaste in there. I have my bar shampoo. I use Crystal deodorant, and I don't have to do any of the little Ziploc stuff.
Well, hotel amenities, that's a whole subject, and I wrote a little bit of a story on them because I have to say I was a hotel amenity hoarder.
I used to be like, ooh, let me take those home.
Exactly, until I watched Bagot. And a lot of the hotel amenities aren't the finest quality, but just the idea of the packaging, if it said what the place was on there, it connoted, it was sort of a little souvenir, but then some places had wonderful products and everything. And then I would be so bad as, like, I'd take one of the packages of coffee or whatever. It was just awful, or little jams in Europe. And then I watched Bagot, and I realized, okay, enough of this. And actually, all summer, I've been weaning myself off of my supply. And I felt really good about it. And I think once people start realizing that all of these little plastic containers just add more and more plastic,
mm-hmm.
and that it is just not a good thing for our world.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like packaging over the years has gotten getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Like, now you buy water in these little 4-ounce containers, and you just want to throw your arms up and scream. It's just like, are these little mini yogurts, you know, that you can have in about 5 bites? So, you know, go for bigger packages, bigger bulk.
I think a lot of us have started to make sure when we leave the house, we have our bags ready. We have our water bottle. Our aluminum water bottle is best.
Stainless steel. Yeah.
Okay. And our commuter mug,
mm-hmm.
coffee cup ready to go. And so many of us have already got that down pretty good. You mm-hmm. leave the house with it. But I haven't traveled abroad yet
mm-hmm.
since I have this brand new me. And that's going to be an interesting experience
yep.
to arrive at a place and they want to serve you something. Say, oh, would you just fill up my water bottle?
Yeah.
Have you experienced
that
yet?
Oh, yeah. I've traveled every single shoot we went on. The whole crew, we always had our own bottle, our own coffee mug, to-go coffee mug, and our own. We'd have a bag. We've been using these little Chico bags that pack into themselves. They're super tiny, and I pretty much always have one of those with me for, you know, if I have to buy something quickly. And it's really interesting to question packaging. If you're sitting down to get a meal and you're saying, what does that come on? And they're like, oh, what do you mean? It's like, well, are you going to give this to me on styrofoam? Because if you are, here's a napkin, just put it in my hand, like if you're ordering a sandwich or whatever. And they sort of look at you and like you're insane, but, you know, I feel like that's okay, because it's the more people ask questions, the more people will start to realize, okay, maybe why would someone not want styrofoam? That's interesting. So especially in airports, that's when it's really challenging, and you just have to say, you know, how's that going to come? Sometimes I even travel with a plate and just say, put it on this. But yeah, I feel like the more times they're asked, the more that they'll think about it.
Exactly, and that's how you bring about change. And then they get hearing about Bagot and eventually see it and send it to friends as a Christmas present. I think we have to say the website again. It's
BagotMovie.com.
As I said before the break, the travel industry sends more than 1 billion tourists around the world every year. And I had received an email the other day from the American Society of Travel Agents, and they have a list of some green travel tips here. And we already talked about the idea of travel by train instead
of plane.
That's one
of them. Okay.
And maybe if we have more people looking to do that in the U.S., we might get a decent rail system after all.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Take a bus, train, or ferry. And I guess the idea behind that is save money and gain convenience in getting from place to place. And that way you're not taking your own car out if you're taking public transportation. And discover new places by foot. It's just so great. You know, Paris is a fantastic city to visit by foot, and so many other places in the world within our own country. So for people to just shift gears and think, do it by foot, even if I take a bus back.
Yeah, we don't always need to rent a car even. In the U.S., we would just get to a city and then figure out how to get around.
Right, and give that a try. And you can actually rent an eco-friendly car these days.
Yeah, we got one in California on our last trip because we had too far to go. We got a hybrid. It was great.
And was it a lot more expensive to rent an eco-friendly car?
You know, the guy told us that by the time, considering how much we would save in gas, that it was actually going to be about the same price.
Okay. And is there one car company more than another that you'd recommend?
I think a lot of them have it, especially in California. Almost everybody now has hybrids available.
Okay. Once again, if you ask for that, the more people that ask, the more we'll find available. Use environmentally responsible services. And that gets into visiting perhaps a green hotel.
Right.
Or if you are at a hotel, and maybe just having a quick chat with somebody at the hotel and say, oh, gee, it would be great if you could do this or that. And, you know, get them thinking. If they realize that this is important to people, if this is important to their guests, that they do have more green practices in their housekeeping, then they will make the change.
Yeah, a lot of hotels now, obviously, unless you put the towel on the floor, you can keep reusing it. I just hate the thought of them washing things all the time. I like to put a do not disturb when I'm in a hotel room until I check out, because I don't really want them coming in and changing anything. She's like, I think we're okay.
I have been visiting with Suzanne Barraza, producer director of Bagot. The website is BagotMovie.com, and I really recommend you go there. You have some great travel tips on there for products, a lot
of
products.
How to avoid a lot of,
And that's very helpful. Suzanne, thank you so much
thank
for
you,
being
Mary
a guest
Beth,
on
I appreciate
Travel
it.
Fun.
Yeah.
I will be blogging about you and putting this interview up as a podcast at BonjourColorado.com. And once again, continued success with the movie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on, fly with me, we'll float down in the blue. Fly with me, float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Fly with me, we'll take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied. We'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding.